Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for August 5th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'm talking with Juliana Moots and Krishna Rajalingam about the cellular functions of the kinase ARAF. RAF proteins are serine threonine kinases that are activated by dimerization. RAFs mediate signaling by growth factors, and aberrant RAF activity can transform normal cells into cancerous cells. There are three RAFs in mammals, ARAF, BRAF, and CRAF. The most studied of these is BRAF because mutations in BRAF are associated with various types of cancer, including melanomas and ovarian cancers. Whereas quite a lot is known about the cellular functions of BRAF and CRAF, not much is known about ARAF. In a new study published this week in Science Signaling, Moots and Rajalingam investigated the function of ARAF in the activation of MAP kinase signaling in various human cancer cells. Rajalingam and Moots join me now by telephone from the University Medical Center, Mainz. Krishna, Juliana, welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Hi.
Hi. It's a great pleasure to be here.
RAFs function downstream of RAS in MAP kinase signaling cascades. How do RAS proteins activate RAFs?
RAF kinases were one of the first serine threonine kinases ever cloned, and RAS binds to RAF, recruit it to the plasma membrane, and there is a lot of conformational changes happening at the plasma membrane, including phosphorylation and dephosphorylation events, which eventually leads to the activation of this enzyme. So RAF kinases then phosphorylate and activate the downstream MAP2K called MEK1 and MEK2, which in turn phosphorylates and activate the ERK kinases, ERK1 and ERK2, and these three constitute the three-tier MAP kinase cascade. In fact, this is the first three-tier MAP kinase cascade ever characterized.
And dimerization of RAFs is important for their activation?
Yes. So RAF kinases, like many other kinases, are activated by dimerization. In fact, this was known even in the 90s, that RAF kinases can be artificially brought together by various means, and they found that RAF kinases can be activated. And in fact, there was papers coming out that RAS actually promotes the homodimerization and heterodimerization between the RAF isoforms. RAF kinases have three isoforms called ARAF, BRAF, and CRAF, and CRAF was the first cloned one, followed by the cloning of ARAF and BRAF. They all were cloned as retroviral oncogenes. RAS also promotes heterodimerization between BRAF and CRAF, and that's the way they signal downstream. In fact, dimerization is one of the very critical processes in the activation of RAF kinases. And structural data has now proved that RAF kinases form a site-to-site dimer through their end lobes of the kinase domains.
The various isoforms of RAF can form heterodimers. You said that BRAF can heterodimerize with CRAF. Does signaling from heterodimers differ from signaling through homodimers?
Sure. This was already known that the BRAF-CRAF heterodimer is a very potent kinase complex, which can phosphorylate MEK in a much stronger way than a CRAF-CRAF or a CRAF-ARAF complex. This is what known before. But I think this story actually for the first time shows that an ARAF-ARAF homodimer can be functional. It is playing an obligatory role despite the presence of a BRAF-CRAF kinase complex in cells. This is also pathologically very relevant because BRAF, one of the potent kinases, is mutated in approximately 7% of human cancers, or more than 70% of human melanomas carry this special V600E mutation. The structure of V600E was solved, and that actually led to the development of a BRAF V600E specific kinase inhibitor. And this kinase inhibitor binds exclusively to the V600E kinase and blocks its hyperactivation in melanoma patients. And in the clinics, it was a resounding success because there were many patients who showed regression when they were treated with V600E inhibitor. However, there was a problem. There were some patients who were developing some sort of side effects because that these RAF inhibitors paradoxically activates the MAP kinase cascade, especially when the patients carry RAS mutations. So what happens is these RAF inhibitors in the presence of activated RAS promotes the dimerization, in fact, a heterodimerization of a BRAF-CRAF kinase complex, which then phosphorylates and activates the MYC-ERK cascade. So instead of blocking the pathway, you paradoxically activate the pathway, which is not the best thing you want to do. So which in turn, of course, lead to metastasis, some carcinomas, and so on. So that's what is called the paradoxical activation by RAF inhibitors. So that also brings home the question that RAF inhibitors can paradoxically activate the MAP kinase pathway by promoting the homo or heterodimerization of RAF kinases. And that also led us to investigate what is the role of ARAF in mediating RAF inhibitor-mediated paradoxical activation of the MAP kinase pathway.
For these experiments, you were using tumor cell lines that have normal BRAF. They don't carry the BRAF V600E mutation.
Exactly, yeah.
But you were treating those cells with the inhibitor that was specifically developed to inhibit the BRAF V600E mutation. What does that inhibitor do in cells that have wild-type BRAF?
There were several inhibitors developed to inhibit V600E in a very specific manner. But many of these inhibitors also turned out to be general RAF kinase inhibitors, meaning they also inhibit the wild-type BRAF, wild-type CRAF, and ARAF, though with different affinities. In this study, we employed RAF inhibitors, both VRAF-specific or the so-called VRAF-specific inhibitors, as well as broad-spectrum RAF kinase inhibitors like sorafenib, which also later turned out to be a multi-kinase inhibitor.
Since the cellular functions of ARAF are not as well understood as the cellular functions of BRAF and CRAF, Juliana, you decided to look at ARAF function in a variety of different cell types. What cell types did you look at, and what sorts of cell behaviors or cell processes did you assay?
Yes, I looked at different carcinoma cell lines. Most of them were carrying actually this activating KRAS mutation. We decided to do our studies on lung carcinoma cell lines, A549 or pancreatic cancer cell line, as well as also using a breast cancer cell line that didn't report any RAS mutations. First of all, we checked what happens if we knock each of the RAF isoforms out. And intriguingly, we found that for the cell lines I just talked about, that knocking down ARAF led to a complete block in the activation of the MAP kinase pathway. And when we then employed the V600E inhibitor, we found that the cascade could not get triggered in the absence of ARAF, whereas it got triggered when B or C were absent, or even both of them together, which was kind of unexpected. And then we further investigated what this translates into phenotypically. In all cases, there was a slight reduction in proliferation, but not significantly. Finally, we found out that knocking down ARAF and treating the cells with this V600E-specific inhibitor or a pan-RAF inhibitor like sorafenib, that cells were no longer able to migrate in a two-dimensional way, as well as in a 3D invasion assay. So they were no longer able to invade the matrix. So that was actually quite intriguing. And at least to our knowledge, also the first time that it has been shown for ARAF.
So the ARAF is required not for the cells to proliferate, but for them to migrate.
Exactly, definitely, and invade.
How about in non-tumorigenic cells? Have you looked at ARAF function in normal human cells?
So far, our study was only conducted in carcinoma cell lines. Actually, there's not so much known how ARAF really functions in the non-cancerous cell lines. The thing what's always interesting about ARAF is that it really displays a very weak kinase activity, especially compared to BRAF or CRAF. So that's why people never really worried about the impact ARAF could do as a kinase. So that's why it was very interesting for us that here it was specifically the kinase activity that could do the job, that could phosphorylate and that could activate the MAP kinase signaling cascade.
Do your results shed any new light on the significance of heterodimerization of ARAF with BRAF or CRAF?
So we could actually see that ARAF heteromerizes with B as well as C, but The most prominent complexes that were formed upon RAF inhibitor treatment was a complex formation with B and C. And that was actually intriguing because although there was no ARAF present, these complexes were formed. So B and C complexes were formed, but they were not able to activate the cascade.
I would say there are three major messages coming from this manuscript. I think one, we found that ARAF, which was shrouded in mystery, as we say, can indeed function as an obligatory kinase in phosphorylating MEK1 and activating the classical mitogenic cascade. And here are some cell lines where it works both primarily at the basal level as well as in RAF inhibitor-mediated MAP kinase pathway. Two, we here found a role for ARAF kinase in contributing to tumor cell migration and invasion. We have to work whether this is kinase-dependent, whether it is kinase-independent, whether it works on the mitogenic cascade or outside the mitogenic cascade in regulating cell migration. That's something which needs to be worked out. The third interesting and important point which we deciphered is, in the absence of ARAF, these RAF inhibitors actually promoted BRAF, CRAF, KSR, and even MEK1, and they all come together in one complex. Nevertheless, this complex is not activating MEK1. Like Jules said, that's a big surprise, and we have to really work out what's going on there. Why the BRAF-CRAF complex, which is supposed to have a high kinase activity, is unable to phosphorylate and activate MEK1 in the absence of ARAF in these cell lines. We also found that these RAF kinases compete physically among each other in binding to MEK1, and I think that's a very interesting insight to our current understanding of how these RAF kinases interact with MEK1. Maybe ARAF might provide the fine balance of how these different RAF kinases comes together, bind to MEK1, and phosphorylate MEK1. And many of our studies were limited by the constructs we are using. You know, when we use full-length RAF kinases, which is a pretty long protein, it's pretty hard to purify as well, they work very differently than if you just use the kinase domain. And I think we need to understand more on how these full-length RAF kinases interact with MEK1, both structurally as well as biochemically or biophysically, you may say. And I think like all good studies, they provoke more questions than answers we could provide at this point. But nevertheless, I think this would be interesting also for the community to follow up on these interesting observations. And I think ARAF holds a lot of surprises which still need to be deciphered.
Juliana, Krishna, thanks for speaking with me.
Yeah, pleasure.
It's a pleasure for both of us to be here, and thank you very much.
That was Juliana Mutz and Krishna Rajalingam discussing a paper published in the August 5th issue of Science Signaling by Mutz and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any comments or questions, you can email us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.